Hello, Montreal. This is Mouse at the Goods for CKUT. You can check out my music at soundcloud.com/DJMAUS. And thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed. Bye bye.
Wow. 2013, Exodus Steel Orchestra. I'm going to get down the music and I'm going to search for Sister P. Boom Boom Time is in the house. Band players in the world that I know of, and he sort of hid this on the internet, and I happened to be fooling around with Fastbook, and I found this. I also found Fast Mistress Pat Dylan Moore. Hello there, Patricia. Hello, Pat. You hearing me?
Hello, I am here, but the angel running to talk. He come, he hear the song, and he start to smile, and he come and he sit down with anyone. He run when I give him the phone. I don't know what happened to the angel.
I think I'm having a problem with the system. I think I'll have to fix it. But angel wanted to talk.
No, I was calling him to talk, but he heard the, what's the song? The shadow song.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Why am I getting the sound?
What was that?
That was BPTT Renegades, Year for Love. That was it.
No, but then after that, you played a bit of Shadow.
Oh, that's Martin Albino.
Yes, I know. But what was that song?
I don't remember the name of it, but...
Dingole.
Dingole, yeah, Dingole.
Okay, now, hold on. What is Dingole?
Your question, me look like me a Trinidadian to you.
No, I'm not asking you to define the word. What does that song mean?
I don't know what it means.
Then the wedding song threatens the whole world.
I want to fix your microphone first because I don't know why it has sound so I'm a headphone. Oh, is it is it sounding okay out there?
I think so.
I'm not... It sounds like it breaking up in my ears. I don't know why. Why would it do that? Oops, here we go.
Well, maybe I need to watch
you. This can't continue. I'm going to call you back, Pat. All right.
Plenty sweetness. Music has no friends or enemies. Everybody will dingle. Dingle, eh, dingle, eh, dingle, eh, dingle, eh, if your clothes tear up or your shoes bust up, you could still jump up when music plays. Old lady, young baby, everybody, dingle, dingle, eh, dingle. Dingole, dingole, ay, 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 ay. Bamoya Tibo, Tibo Chua Tibo, Bamoya Tosaure, Sula Cheche Mon, Bamoya Tibo, the Tibo, Chua Tibo, Bamoya Tibo, the Tibo, Chua Tibo, Bamoya Tibo, Tibo Chua Tibo, Bamoya Tosaure, Sula Cheche.
Okay, Sister P, could you call me back, please? Let me see if I fix this thing or not. Was working beautiful yesterday. Got compliments on it. Don't ask me what happened today. Well, I guess it's... Hello, Sister P.
Hey, how are you?
Ah, not bad. This damn thing, I don't know what happened to it. I didn't do nothing to it.
But it sounds normal to me.
It sounds normal to you?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, as long as it sounds normal to you. And I hope it's...
Not to me, but on the radio, and I it was on the actual radio as opposed to...
Okay, well, that's good. I will live with what I'm hearing here.
Okay.
All right, so...
No, I'll make it.
So, what we want to talk about today?
Megan!
Why would you want to talk about these British people? No, let's talk. Let's talk
okay,
about Megan.
Ask
me something.
Are you biracial?
I am bi, li, pi, everything racial, okay.
No, I know that you are of a fairer persuasion of blackness.
Right.
And have you had to navigate or had anybody around you navigate with different races and colors? And if so, does it really matter?
I grew up in a very racist environment, you know, Pat. I grew up in a place called Shudley, Christiana, where if you're both ways, if your family wasn't with a name or had money or the color of your skin was too dark, then you wouldn't be appreciated. It's when I became a big man, 1920, that I could see the changes there because they had a lot of interracial marriages going on then. But before that, it was like that. It's a little English village. You know, they're called Mandeville, where I was actually born, at the little English village. And it's like that. It was like that in Jamaica. If my mother's father was from Scotland, so she was fairly light-skinned. My father, of course, was black, so... we lived through it, and anybody who tell you that there weren't racism from our colonialist background is lying to themselves. The British West Indies, we faced a lot of, because a lot of people came from England, and they thought of us as the domestic help and so forth and so forth. I could give you stories of when playing soccer in Vineyard Town. We used to go by Upper Camp, which is where the soldiers lived, and play soccer. And we had a hard time with some of the soldiers there. I remember one year they come to Jamaica for maybe 4 years. This battalion, Worcester, anyway, when they went back, they had another one replace them called DCLI, and they raided us, you know, the young kids over in Upper Camp playing soccer, they raided us, I mean, it was hell, you know, I mean, our families and thing had to go to the commanding officers and all that, and they apologized because we've been playing over there for years, and then this regiment came, they didn't want any black kids over there, and that was it. So they didn't spend much time. They spent a year in Jamaica and they sent them back. But, you know.
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
I love story time with Uncle Stretch. There is a fabulous picture of Storm and you. I think that could have been the last time we came to your house, because that was when Uncle Tony was there. You remember we popped by, drive by to see Uncle Tony. And then, as usual, Storm plays on the board and you recorded her. And then you started telling her some sort of story or you were teaching her, right? And the picture I caught was obviously you were talking with her, you know, because I love candid shots.
Right.
It's story time with Uncle Stretch. It's always story time with you. I think it's story time with all of us because essentially we do that. We speak in story, right? Because we're oral tradition and parts of how we engage with one another. And then in that instance, there was a generational gap between you and story. So teaching and talking, oftentimes you use a story, the narrative. And from that little memory that you just shared, I have assumptions with which I'm listening, right? And follow me here what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And now you said your father was black.
Right.
But black means a lot of things, so I do have to ask, how black complexion?
Fairly dark. Fairly okay. Dark. And
like angel's complexion?
Could be even darker than the angel.
And okay. And so you all, because I think your sisters, all of you all took mother's complexion.
Yes, except okay. We all did, we all came out fair-skinned, except for Tony, I think. He had a little darker than the rest of us. But apart from that, all of us were fair-skinned, fairly fair-skinned.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was never good at colors.
Yes, okay. I'm still looking at you, though, the trained eye. If we're black, we look like you to say you was a black man, right?
Right.
The untrained eye. Particularly in North America, right? Because the assumptions of the soldiers would have been the given classism that you guys were all black children, right? It, no matter what your complexion, unless there was a bunch on a red airplane and then maybe these are the white kids in the neighborhood getting together, right?
Right.
And those assumptions get made. But in North America, the assumption, like somebody could look at you, and correct me if I'm wrong, have people mistaken you for Irish or Italian?
Here in North America?
Yeah.
Not really. I can't remember if that ever happened, but I know they were curious about my Afro. Like I'm having here now.
Oh, that's right. So you had other markers that would scream, black, he's a black man.
Exactly.
Afro.
Yep, you got that right.
Yeah, you're right, because it's not even now in the pandemic, because now you're Angela Davis' husband. Right. But when your hair is quite short and with the gray, right?
Right.
You're looking like Sean Connery.
Ooh. I wish I had his money.
Whatever. He's dead now, so stop it. So wish for nothing.
Yes. No.
I say all of this.
Yes.
Because, you know, I imagine that when Meghan, first of all, should meet the Queen at a church, it's not like she goes to her yard and so forth, right? Which I suppose wasn't bad, because if she had to smear it on disgusting, she was fairly in public, although church could have been put on church fans, put on property, so it was only them. Who knows, right? But when you go to go and meet mom, and you bring in someone to meet grandma or something, if they're in on their turf, so maybe they chose, okay, grandma now, she's here, let's do this now. Right? And so you do know how to curtsy, right? And so she was grandma, it was fairly cordial. Okay.
Yeah.
So now, you don't have a lot of opportunity, it seems, in that family to get to know people, and then you go on whatever you're given and presented in front of you. Right?
So right.
How are you feeling today? Tell me, what did you think of the walkabout you did and this, that? And it's pleasantry, right?
Right.
And I'm reaching towards the conversation about poor little Archie. Now, Jesus, Archie could be, Archie look like everybody picked me.
Right.
Right? You think it's a boy, Archie? You didn't even see your grandsons in Archie's face. It's a baby face, right?
Yes.
And now he isn't even born yet. She's pregnant. And someone has the conversation, not with her, but with her husband. Someone in the family.
Right.
I'm assuming, making an ass out of myself, because they use the term the firm to apply to those who are the firm, and I imagine senior people sit on the firm, and it's not only the people who run the joint and manage their handlers are in the firm, but it's someone in the family. What kind of complexion would you be going to have?
You know, that's why I don't touch that.
But all right, so wait, touch it now, sir. Touch it with me.
I touch it with you.
Have you had any of those kinds of conversations, right? And I'm going to, would you, could you, should you, was it possible or feasible that when Tara was expecting, and I say that only because as an analogy, they're in your life, it's in your domain, they are a bicultural because, she is a black woman, and he is, I think he's of Irish descent, am I correct?
Bicultural,
right?
Yeah, right.
Would you look at Tara and say, for Tara, don't call her to pick me up and come out?
who could ask such a question, really and truly? Anybody with any kind of common sense? Who could really ask that kind of question? This is why I tell you these people they drive me crazy.
No, but you couldn't ask Tara that.
What color her baby gonna be?
Yeah.
No. Because it didn't matter to me in that sense.
Did you wonder about the nose? I don't know what Tara's nose look like. Near your
Mm-hmm.
Your son-in-law's nose, Adam.
Yeah, but
okay.
How do you assume what color the child gonna be? I've seen kids in Jamaica. I'm thinking of a family right in my eyes here. The father is Indian, light skin Indian, and the mother is Jamaican, cocoa brown, and they have one black son and one fairly light-skinned daughter. And how do you judge this? I don't understand. I really don't. You know, it's nature. What the master, what God does is no argument for us. I don't know what color, because one is cocky.
Okay, so let me widen it out for you. Because I've been having this conversation with myself. So now I'm road testing it with you, right?
Right.
Do you do God, God, I wonder, Sister Father, Father, should I look like? Well, hold on.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
We're not talking complexion now, right? Because it's said most likely, unless her great-grandfather on your side decide, you know, so much of my generation come out red. You want therapy to come out black and feel black color come out. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand.
So we're not talking color.
Right.
We're talking features. Like Tara, Lord is of mercy, Tara is her mother.
That she is, yes.
Right? Lord, and Mrs. Samuel Adams family, the baby, they're not going to look like suicide on the same side. What do you think? And talk to me now, and answer me now. Do those conversations happen, not necessarily in your family, but in any family?
In any family.
It sounds normal.
But, you know, I...
Why in Jesus' name, Mary, go carry, go bring, come and bring it back to your wife?
Because
my mother used to say, well, we used to do them kind of little things. Not so much that, right? You're building strife. Meaning... You're manipulating trouble or what have you. Or it could very well have been it. Jesus, Megan, just the other day, you want to hear a joke? They're all excited about the babies. They even want to know what complexion the baby's going to come out.
Aye!
Things like Linda Blair. You know, sometimes you just go and tell your wife something that you think is a joke and she don't find it funny.
I find the whole thing funny because, you know, one thing, the royal family, and who am I to critique them? I know nothing about them more than that. I had to hold a little flag when I was in elementary school as Princess Margaret drove up the street in her open car and waved at us. And that's as near as I got to the royal family. So I have nothing to say, but... For them to be inquiring what color this child is going to be, or how would they know? How would anybody be able to answer that question?
I mean, you pose a very good question. But then, sometime when you're nervous and you don't know what to talk about, I am not giving the royal family pass on this one. But then I'm also saying, as a family, and we oftentimes talk the most wrongest thing with our father. If you guys were to bug me and my sister Yvonne, ladies of mercy, or worse, me and Peter can't talk anything. Well, I could talk anything with most of them, all of them. You understand what I'm saying? I could have a conversation over when Kamasi was coming, I could have gone, Lord, says Father Stretch, because what the people will come out, Trini.
Mm-hmm.
We want a Jamaican one this time. You see, we did do this experiment with Angel and I, and the one storm, she come out, Trini, you know. So this is the one, you know, we want a Jamaican in the house. We want somebody to be inside.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe could have thought that. Come here and you talk also, it's a foolishness. God Almighty, now there's a phone to talk. Your phone and my phone. The show ring when me and you talk.
Right.
Remember them party talk, party come phones, and people all get all the lights and listen?
I don't know. I'm sure if I really should say what I think about this whole thing, there would be no Stretch on CKUT. There would be no CKUT. But we're going to... I'm not one that is crazy about royalty. You understand? So I will leave it alone, and Megan will have to fight that out herself. And she has a husband there that is an extremely brave young man. Don't forget he was in Afghanistan flying that helicopter twice.
I'm afraid to ask you the next question.
The next question is?
Did your friend Oprah come in with you and she had big?
Yeah, man, I'm a friend. What? I'm a friend What?
Did she do a good job?
Personally, I think she has the knack for being an excellent interviewer. And she seems to be able to put the right questions at the right time that will actually drag out somebody's answers. You know, like when she asked the Megan about racism and all that, you know, it came from nowhere. You know, and she hadn't a choice but to answer it. And I give Oprah credit. I'm not a big fan of hers because I think she could do some more with her money. You know. No, that's the truth. I'm not really a big fan of hers. But I respect her for what she does and how it has paid off for her. So that's basically it. Megan, she's in for the fight of her life, just like his mother was. And, you know, sometimes I often wonder, how did Diana die, really? You know, it bothers me. Well, all right. That's why I don't talk these. I don't talk these things on the radio, because.
Yeah, you know, whether she was alive or not, on this one, it doesn't matter to a degree. Now hold on, don't shoot me, listening audience. If Diana had been alive, we still would be drawing parallels between her life, her entrance into the family, and unfortunately now, her exit, right?
Right.
Could we do it with Fergie? You notice now some of the conversations, what has become a thing in all this is the comparative analysis of all the women who have married into the royal family. And unfortunately, because Mark Phillips, and at the time, and that was what she named the husband. And husband.
Horse face. Oops.
Ouch! You nasty. Listen, I would just answer you like how she would answer you. Sod off. You know, that's why we did love her. Some people were questioning her, journalists or something like that. She had the best do-kia attitude out of all of them, and I guess that just kind of steers her for it all, and she just engages and doesn't engage, turns it on and off, I guess. I don't know, you know, the people. But we didn't do at that time when she married her husband, it all was just watching it and talking about the dress, talking about the service. I remember it because we were given the day off in school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or it was so early in the morning that we were able to see it and then go to school, right? Something like that. And of course, the water cooler or the yard chat was, did you watch the wedding? Did you see the wedding? I remember everybody did the wedding. you talk as a classroom, because you remember when you get in, it's about current affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the wedding, the wedding, the wedding. And all the press, and I could go back, I guess, and look. They weren't talking. I wonder what it's like for him to marry into the royal family. And then back then, there was marrying their one another anyway, so he knew that, did it. All of this has only become something because them is from the outside. And now, unfortunately, this one is way outside. She look.
But I'm not, I'm really not surprised so Harry married someone black or Indian, or because he's that type of personality. He has his mother's type of personality. I remembered seeing him in pictures in Jamaica dancing with these young little kids. And he broke that tradition. I mean, dance he did. You know what I mean? So I'm not surprised. And I wish them luck.
Do young people today, and I wanted to ask, you know, my nieces and nephews, all of them, because our family is a United Nation, like most families, I think, now. If your family's been around long enough, you're going to have everybody in your family, right? And I wanted to ask the young set, right? So the set, not even the younger set, so the ones younger than Alicia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it matters, right? And I mean, like, I'm already going to the choir because of the mere fact that I said the family's a United Nation. It seems they didn't matter, right? But I wanted to ask them, the unmarried ones, if when it comes time for them to marry, if they're married, but then they look like they're not married at all. Do they see a person or do they see color? Right? Because I remember the question posed to me.
What was that?
I wonder if, when I was pregnant with Alicia, when was the baby going to have?
Oh, God.
Families ask these things when people get pregnant.
They do?
Right? Yeah, what kind of hair?
How would anyone know? They're going to push the head up there.
They guess about anything. They bet on everything. We don't know who's going to win the hockey match between blah, 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 blah. Right? So you handicap these things.
Ah, come on. I just can't figure. I don't know. What kind of hair your baby going to have? You going to have long legs or short foot? What kind of madness is that? That is total madness, I think.
The madness is called the world, because what kind of day is tomorrow going to be? And we use markers to decide. We look to the weather. We look to the month of March. We just turn back the clocks.
Turn back or move it forward?
Forward. We did something with the clocks. I don't know. I was sleeping. But I will feel the impact by tomorrow, or maybe tonight when I go down to bed and find, oh, come now, fall asleep. Oh, come to falling asleep earlier and the sun's still up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It is a mind thing. However, that's the world we live in, and then we deal with it, and these people, they wouldn't know how to deal with nothing because they're on a false platform or a different platform and have very different relationships, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's okay to introduce your intending to them in church. Well, whatever. The world's gone crazy, and that's the world we live in. And that's, I used to love when, I think it was Leslie Robertson on CTV News, we go, and that's the kind of day it's been. And that's the kind of world we live in. I don't know.
I gave up a long time ago where the royal family is concerned. I don't care who gets married to them or
all the shenanigans, all it does is to make people write about it, and it's just other avenues into human nature. And now all of the stories, listen to me. about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they're talking about it on the news in such details have created all this foolishness, right? But through the foolishness, other things get discussed.
Right.
And racist finally, it's a hell of a way to, this is the litmus test, right? When you have a baby, right? It's often a litmus test, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and the mother's hairstyle, too. Don't forget that, all right?
No, the mother was the best. She didn't want to interview, but no, I bet. Since the papa is out, I will leave mommy alone. I don't like to buck her up.
Yep. Interesting.
My dear, that's the world that we're living in. So what do you have for us today? What kind of...
I don't know. This conversation was interesting. My friend Drew, he has a radio station that he's put together, and he put me in a slot there, but I'm not able to make it because I do another slot, but he has a guy who slips in there to do 2 hours of a little bit of disco, so I'll play a little bit of, I told him to send me a little mix, and I'll play that.
Find the mighty
all right, so you should have told me that. I would have found it already, you know what I mean? Pat, I don't think about nothing where the queen is concerned. I've had my full share of the queen growing up.
What kind of British
How many times did you sing God Save Our Gracious Queen?
A few times.
Hold on. Yeah. What you say? A few times?
Yeah.
Okay. When I went to Calabar Elementary, I sang that every almighty day that I'm in school. All right? So I don't really want to hear nothing about them.
Just remember, come on now. I was raised in the 70s, but we sang it in choir as a performance piece. Right? Because remember, we didn't even sing Canadian Anthem. Canadian Anthem was relegated to hockey games.
I don't know what they sang here, but I know that I sang the God Save Our Gracious Queen. And we didn't know who the hell was the queen. You know what I mean? And we had to get on that thing and I gave up. I gave up really and truly. I just couldn't deal with it anymore. Coming to Canada, I had my opportunity to go to England and I cried and I refused and I stomped my feet like a little girl because I was not going to England to live. So this is why I came to Canada to my brother.
I'm sure we can find some fresh out of order tea towels that says what color is the baby going to be? Now, especially since she's having a girl. Let's go and buy all the little let's go buy the newspapers. Let's go and buy the newspaper just for the headline.
I get the paper here every day and I don't even read it.
Goodbye. I know the truth with subscriptions, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Daily subscriptions. Yes. But I've been fighting myself to read some, and not all. But I've been reading the same New York Times Sunday edition. It's about 3 weeks now, and it's great. Bye, Stretch.
Bye-bye, Patricia. We will chat before this is over, all right?
I'm going to go online and look for flights to the UK when we're able to fly.
When we?
You're not going back on plane, Howard.
I'll go back on the plane, but we're not going to the UK. I'm not a fan of the UK, and I will absorb all the letters that I'm going to get now, but it's the truth. I am from Mandeville in Jamaica. Bye-bye, my dear. I'll play the commercials. You have a list. You have a blessed evening. And you the next time you come back, please leave the UK and out of it. We will talk about Canada. I love this country. And
I talk about Canada because right now the coronavirus and the vaccine distribution, and should we be taking AstraZeneca?
I don't think Canada is giving that AstraZeneca, whatever the name of it. I don't think
Johnson & Johnson one shot, please.
Yeah, but Johnson & Johnson is making sure they take care of their American brothers and sisters. You know, let me tell you, I went to do mine last Monday, and I have to take my hat off. I took off everything. My hat, my cap, everything to these people because they did a wonderful job.
They just to take a needle.
Pardon me? Yeah. No. But I'm serious. I am very, very serious with this. These guys did a wonderful, wonderful job the way it's done. You're in there to do the needle and the whatever in about half an hour and you're out. You know, and they're very professional, and I have to congratulate them. They did a wonderful job. What more can I say?
Does that mean that when I get the needle, then I could do the show from your house?
No, it doesn't mean that. It means when you get the needle, you keep your ass out of your yard. Okay?
I have a feeling you don't want me to come to your house. Just be about me stealing records. Fine, go on. I've had it.
All right, man. Take it easy. I'm telling you, Sister P and I, we are crazy people when it comes to conversation. But let me look for the commercial. I chat so much that I didn't even know what I did with the commercials. Here we go.
This message is intended for all Quebecers. We must take extreme measures to curb the pandemic. Only essential services remain open. Gatherings are prohibited. It's forbidden to leave your home between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. These efforts aim to protect our healthcare workers, seniors, and loved ones. Let's comply with the lockdown and curfew to lower the risk of contracting COVID-19, because our health is important. For more information, visit quebec.ca/confinement. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Tonight, sweetie, I'm making you your favorite meal. It's the least I can do after an entire week of taking away your phone, going through your messages, calling you names, insulting your friends, and shouting at you. Yeah, tonight, I'm making you your favorite meal so I can start another week of taking away your phone, going through your messages, calling you names, insulting your...
Violence against women stops here. Contact SOS Violence Conjugale. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Hi, I'm Yao. I'm a singer and a spokesperson for the 2021 edition of Les Rendez-vous de la Francophonie. From March 1st to the 31st, we'll be celebrating remotely, but all together. Whether you're a Francophone, a Francophile, a French immersion student, or someone who's passionate about the French language, whether you live in Acadia or on the West Coast, there will be a host of activities, contests, and games, so don't miss out. Visit rvf.ca.
CKUT 90.3 FM, it's Boom Boom time, fill in the big shoes. What time is it? It's now 4:53. I hope you turned your clock forward and not backward like Sister P. And as I was telling you, Drew has a set of radio stations that he has set up on his internet. And this guy fills in for me. He plays a little bit. I'll play one or two to bring you up to what he does. All right? Turning back the pages of time. On Boom Boom Time. Y'all can remember this. I used to love this song. In my high heel shoes. had on high heels.
DJ Knight Rider.
Knight Rider. He's gonna play a little bit of the old disco thing.
Like a ship on the ocean, we've been sailing with the Rock the boat.